Hi, I'm Jim Dyer from Cambridge. You are listening to Community Radio CKMS Radio Waterloo. Now live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, in addition to Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
We have sound levels, we have a guest in the studio, we're on Facebook Live today, and it's a cool day today outside, windy and east winds, and it's March in Ontario. And just so glad to have a guest today, and Barry has come up from the south end of our listening area down by Brantford. And Barry, you've brought along some really great tunes, and let's talk about your first song. Tell us what it is and why you like it.
Okay, well, thanks for inviting me up. We've got a lot to talk about, I guess, after we had our little chat on the phone.
No kidding.
This has a lot of meaning in simply because some of us remember when Conway Twitty was just starting out. And he worked in Hamilton along with Ronnie Hawkins and down at the Summer Gardens in Port Dover. I guess people were like 17 or 18. They were all grown up like 22, 23. And they'd play the weekends, and then Monday morning, about noon, they'd wake up and drive back through Hagersville, and everybody would line up on the sidewalk and wave at them in their Cadillac. So I thought we could start with this one because it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the day.
Perfect. Have you had a chance to see Conway in concert?
Not him live. I did see his son over at Walter's Dinner Theater.
Yes,
and that's a very fine show.
It is a good place over there, over in Bright.
Yeah, and he does a good show of his dad's songs. So,
Okay. With that, we'll play it. Folks, just stay locked in. We're going to play Conway Twitty, and we'll be back in a few short moments to talk some more with our guest today, Barry Hill. This is episode number 121, I think. Oh, sorry, 212. Get confused. We'll be back, folks. Stay locked in.
You've been busy.
Hello, darling. Nice to see you. It's been a long time. You're just as lovely as you used to be. How's your new love? Are you happy? Hope you're doing fine. Just to know it means so much to me. What's that, darling? How am I doing? I'm doing all right, except I can't sleep. I cry all night till dawn. What I'm trying to say is I love you, and I miss you, and I'm so sorry that I did you wrong. Look up, darling, let me kiss you, just for old time's sake. Let me hold you in my arms one more time. Thank you, darling. May God bless you. And each step you take bring you closer to the things you seek to find. Goodbye, darling. I gotta go now. Gotta try to find a way to lose these memories of a love so warm and true. And if you should ever find it in your heart to forgive me, come back, darling, I'll be waiting for you.
This is Amy Beth Brubaker from Elmira. You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, I'm David McConaughey. I'm the publisher of Alternatives Journal, and I am a huge fan of community radio. As a listener, community radio gives me a chance to hear the stories that matter most to me, those that matter, that are closest to my heart and closest to my home. As somebody who wants to communicate an idea or build engagement with citizens across our community, community radio gives me a platform in which I can convey my ideas, my inspirations, my hopes, my dreams, and gives me a chance to reach out one-on-one to hundreds at a time. So again, I love community radio. I'm sure you love community radio. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. This is episode number 112. 120. Jeepers, I get it all mixed up. That's why I have guests keep me on track. 212 today. We're going to start today's event, the Agriculture Show, on March 6th. We're going to acknowledge that we are meeting on the Aboriginal land that has been inhabited by Indigenous peoples from the beginning. As settlers, we're grateful for the opportunity to meet here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Long before today, as we gather here, there have been Aboriginal peoples who have been the stewards of this place. In particular, we acknowledge that we are on the Haldimand Tract land promised to the Haudenosaunee people of the Six Nations, which includes 6 miles on each side of the Grand River. This territory is also the traditional territory of the Neutral, Anishinaabeg, and Haudenosaunee peoples. And with that, we're into on a cold, kind of cool March 6th, and the guest today is Barry Hill. And Barry, that was a great song. You've seen his son play, but not Mr. Conway.
Not himself, no.
Okay.
Never did make it to Twitty City.
Where is that?
I think it's in Tennessee, but I could be wrong. Alabama, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Tell us about yourself. How many people sit around the table at the Hilt family Christmas or Easter or whatever time to get together with family? How many people are you?
There's my wife and I, and I've got two kids and two grandchildren. So when we get together, I guess which is not that often anymore with people living away from us. It could be, 6 or 8? We got big birthdays coming up. My granddaughter and my daughter actually have the same birthday in April, so makes it easier for me. So we'll be celebrating that in a couple of weeks. And, it's... life is what it is now, and they've got their own lives, and they have their own careers, and so we see them when we can, and support their growing up.
Are you blessed with grandchildren yet, or should I ask?
Well, I got two.
Lovely.
Yeah, I got two. One is going to be 16 at this birthday, so I hope she's not expecting something with the wheels. If it will be, it'll be a skateboard.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful bunch, and sounds like you get great satisfaction as we all go about living our lives, doing the best we can with the resources we have.
Right.
And just for curiosity, do you have any other hobbies you'd like to participate in? Are you by chance, say, singing in the choir or something?
Well, I I sing the bass. No, I have I play the organ at a couple of churches. One is the Mohawk Chapel, where I'm the resident organist, and then I play at another church on Six Nations on a regular basis. And we have a I'm blessed there to have a choir. A family choir, mostly family, although we've extended it, and they sing hymns. This is an these are Anglican churches, yeah. So we sing hymns in Mohawk language. I've got all these old hymn books that I inherited from my grandfather, who was a choir leader at one time. And so a lot of the English hymns, historical old hymns, have been translated into the Mohawk, and it's quite lovely when you get singing harmony in those words. And we'd always try to feature at least one, if not two, hymns in Mohawk when we have a service at the chapel.
It's really wonderful to hear that those resources have been kept and that are being archived.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, I think, wherever you come from, would be really, they'll feel better about the world and themselves if they knew more about their own history.
Right. I think so. And I'll be actually speaking this week, Thursday night, at Women's Institute in Paris, actually.
Excellent.
With a message I'm trying to take is just, what is reconciliation? And we talk about it, and nobody understands it.
Yeah.
And there's a reason, and there's reasons for it. And so I'm not a PhD, although I've had a lot of PhDs, pretty hard days.
Yeah, good one, I like that.
And there are people who can talk it in depth on different topics, the vertical slices of mm-hmm. great detail. But what's missing, I think, is a narrative that ties all these things together for the last 600 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you enumerate that, you begin to see where things started, what developed, and where we are now. And that's a starting point.
I agree. You can't do nothing about something you don't know nothing about.
Right. Exactly.
In the fullness of time, we're finally.
Yeah.
I think I can't believe all of our human relations take so long, but it's just the nature. It's really the ripper.
Yeah, people are what they are. And,
truly,
everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah, and things don't usually move in big bursts. They just kind of creep along.
Right.
Each generation tries to do the next best thing, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's play another song, Barry. We'll come back and talk about all the things you do, which, of course, folks, I just want to say about that. Barry is just a wonderful guest, has so many great things to talk about, and we'll do that in the next section here when I ask him what he does. We're going to play song number two, and according to my handy-dandy records here, I think this is the Conway Twitty.
No, this will be...
The guy with the yellow...
Mickey Gilley,
yeah. And this is track number 12. Tell us about this song, why you like it, and where do you hear it?
It's been an old favorite. Again, as I said, we were chatting earlier. I always liked Mickey Gilley. He was easy listening type of guy, and he played piano, which is what I do.
Mm.
And he had a nice style of singing and playing along with himself. And never saw him live either, but my wife did.
Yeah, very nice.
In her early days, so. Anyway, I like listening to it, so I guess we'll run it now, eh?
We will run it now.
Okay.
Stay locked in, folks. Fresh up that coffee. Our guest today is Barry Hill, and this is episode number 212 from March the 6th of 2018. We'll be right back.
A one, two, three, pick. All the girls all get prettier in clothes and tags. Oh, they all begin to look like movie stars. And all the girls all get prettier in clothes and tan. When the change starts taking place, put the bow on every face with the fallen angels of the backstreet bars. If I could rate them on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm looking for the 9.
something for. When tomorrow morning comes, I wake up with a number one. I swear I'll never do it anymore. And all the girls all get prettier at closing time. I know they all begin to look like movie stars. All the girls all get prettier at closing time. When the change starts taking place, let the glow on every face of the fall. Angels of the back street ball. Funny, ain't it strange, the way a man's opinions change, yeah. When he starts to face that lonely night. And all the girls all get prettier at closing time. Oh, they all begin to look like movie stars. All the girls all get prettier at closing time. When the change starts taking place, let the glow on every face of the fallen angel of the back street ball. When I say fallen angels of the back street ball.
This is Peter Hunton speaking. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3, Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Hello, this is the Tugboat of the Tugboat.ca. Community Radio CKMS is the voice of the people, by the people. I support CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo.ca because it's the real deal.
And we're back. And thanks once again for listening in, folks. Don't mind the noise in the background. We're in a pretty well in a live construction site, it seems, at times. Our building owners are continuously upgrading and maintaining things, and I think they have a tour going through. So we're trying to make this like a sitting in the back of the shop doing work and talking to your buddy, and we actually have the real sound effects today for that. Now, that was a great song choice you had there, Barry. I just really appreciate you picking these songs. I'm looking forward to the rest of our collection here. And you're listening to episode number 212. And our guest today is Barry Hill. So we found that Barry Hill's got family and some grandkids, and he's doing all kinds of singing and that sort of stuff. And we're just going to continue that on with Barry Hill, What Do You Do? And I just hope we can cover all the things that I'm aware of. Hall of Fame nominee for Ontario. The ceremony is June 5th.
June 10th.
Yep. Historian at the
Mohawk Chapel.
Mohawk Chapel.
Her Majesty's Royal Chapel of the Mohawks. Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, there you go.
And also has been the past chairman of the Ontario Soil and Crop Improvement Association and is actually farming. Okay, Barry, try to do it all in 5 minutes. Just you speak at your own pace. Tell us, I don't know where to start. I got wind of you. I know you mostly from Soil and Crop Improvement Association. Great stories in trade magazines about your farming career down there. Want to tell us a little bit about the lead up to your nomination for the Hall of Fame, please? That might start.
Sure. Well, maybe I should just take a quick minute because this whole farming career wasn't ever supposed to happen. Farming was pretty difficult back in the 60s on a First Nation territory. And so I was told, go to school and get a good job. So I did. And I spent 26 years as an engineer. I got a master's degree in engineering, and they're doing a little ceremony for me in May, actually, at McMaster, which is another whole story. But so I got involved with automatic controls and wrote computer programs and managed large projects and both fossil and nuclear. And spent the last few years working on business planning for Ontario Hydro, the old Ontario Hydro, before it was broken up into the fragments that it's been recently. This whole farming thing started as kind of a stress relief from the pressure of writing and doing Darlington, the computer system for Darlington. Darlington is completely computer controlled, and an achievement of automation. You know,
do you do coding yet too a little bit? Do you
knock around? No, I kind of retired from that. After a while, you want to do something else.
Yeah.
And so I got started the old sundowner thing they call it now, or yeah, farming on the weekends and gardening. I always sometimes tell people this is gardening gone mad, right? So I after I turned 50, I decided I needed to do something different. So we headed back and restarted the farm pretty well from scratch. My dad hadn't sold all the land, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started with a 3-furrow plow. And I taught actually at Polytech, Six Nations Polytechnic, which is a post-secondary.
Right.
So I taught there 10 years while we're getting the farm going again. And taught computers and taught math. Math to art students, which is somewhat of a challenge. And then as the farm got bigger and a little more successful, and so I made the retired from teaching and threw myself into farming full time.
You threw yourself like we all
did. Or it sucked me down, I'm not sure which. But so anyway, that things moved along, and I got interested in some of the off-farm things and seeing what the opportunities were. So I went to a soil and crop meeting. How I got in soil and crop is I went to a meeting in Niagara Falls. I had to do a presentation on behalf of the Brant County. Nobody else wanted to go.
Mm.
So I went, and it was a fascinating organization. I mean, they had deputy ministers coming and all kinds of important people, and I thought, wow, these people are connected, you know, and interesting. And so I got involved, and then my wife always says it's because she didn't go with me that one time. I agreed to sit on the executive.
This is like the in all agricultural things, like you get voluntold, and
you get voluntold, and pretty soon. So I spent 10 years doing that. So yeah. I worked my way up to president and past president, and then it was really a lot of interesting and worthwhile things there. When we were looking at research with University of Guelph and trying to expand the application of our research findings into general agriculture, or funneling provincial money in the right direction. So it was interesting. Not heavy-duty politics, but practical stuff, right?
Right, yeah. No, Soil and Crop done it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember some of the projects you guys were working on when you were in president? Anything come
along? Well, we were looking at, we started the cover crops thing.
Right.
Soil health has become a big issue, and that was early days then. Mm-hmm. Crop rotation has always been a big topic, and one of the projects we had worked on was rotation and trying to discourage people from continuous soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been too successful in some places because it's starting to show.
Yeah, no kidding. There's some real stories out there, isn't there?
Some real stories, and I'm hearing some soil test results that are not good because of that.
Organic matter slipping.
Yeah. Yeah, the Environmental Farm Plan, of course, is was a big part of the work we did.
Well, are you guys part of that?
We deliver the Soil and Crop delivers the Environmental Farm Plan on behalf of the two layers of government.
Yeah,
yeah. So we had to staff up for that. Quite a big staff in Guelph to take for the intake and doing all the assessments.
It's a wonderful thing.
So, that was, I met the minister a couple times trying to do our little bit of lobbying that we have to do. So I got into, from that, after Bryan County Federation, of course, I was president 3 years. I got held over, voluntold another year. So that's a different way of looking at things, too. Mm-hmm. And still a director. I guess you put all that together. Harold Rudy, I must thank Harold from Soil and Crop, our previous general manager, executive director, who I guess spearheaded this nomination for the Hall of Fame. And I'm running into people who wrote letters of support. So I really, really appreciate this honor. And especially since of the five nominees, only two of us are alive.
Yeah, I love you mentioning that. You're right. It's nice to be recognized.
It's nice to be able to appreciate it, right?
You're being modest. It's just a wonderful nomination, and the Hall of Fame is located in Milton.
Milton. Right? There's a fine print there. They have the ceremony at the Agricultural Museum in Milton, at the Gambrel Barn.
But the actual.
But now they've removed the plaques that they have on the wall, and they're at 100 Stone Road,
I saw that on some of the literature. I didn't realize that.
They used to. I believe in the old days they used to be in the head office of the Royal Winter Fair.
Mm-hmm.
There was all these august-looking old men there hanging.
you'll be one of the youngest-looking guys on that list. Very, your life has been good. You're quick to laugh and smile. You look great. So you'll be one of the not the old gray hairs in that bunch.
Thank you very much for that.
We can talk some more about the agriculture part, but this is a section where you ask, what do you do? And I just, what a great opportunity. You're also a historian. As you know, folks, if you want to find out more about what's happened and what's going on in the world, one of the things you do is you hit the books and you go to museums and you check stuff out. And Barry, you want to talk a little bit about the great opportunity you have to look after the museum and archives of our...
the chapel?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Thank you. This guy, I started out as the organist because I was playing at another church, and he offered me the chance to be the organist. And then a usual story, somebody leaves the board, and would you want to sit on the board? And then pretty soon the chairman retires, and nobody wants to be chair. So here I am, chairman, since 2013. It's been really interesting. I started. You always know a bit about the history, and my dad was involved when he was all through his years. It's part of the Six Nations Anglican Parish, and they used to only have special services there, and sometimes it got down to only Christmas. And so when I got involved, I thought we got to change this. The chapel needs to be used. People have to reconnect with it because it's remote from the actual Six Nations. It's within the city limits of Brantford, right?
Mm-hmm.
Down by the dump, of course, which is not my favorite place. It became two things. One is it became obvious we weren't sustainable financially. And so I convinced Ban Council to fold the chapel under the tourism department, which allowed us to then have our grass cut and the hydro paid and so on as part of that the tourism budget. And the money we had squirreled away over the years, beginning when the Queen came in 1984 to visit the chapel, we've put that into a perpetual care fund. And that was to maintain the building, which... And the last couple of years, we've been able to do wonderful things. We've got a new roof, a new siding, a new furnace, and all that type of thing. So new front doors. So we're in fairly good shape as a physical building. But we needed notes. We have summer students come in the summer to do tours, and so I start writing notes for them about the historical windows, because we have these 8 stained glass windows that tell the story of 6 nations, right?
Oh, beautiful.
And the chapel.
Yeah.
And that's the highlight of any tour there. I mean, we have a lot of bus tours. We're actually the leading tourism department published their little stats chart the other day, and the chapel is the most popular place of all their properties, so we're kind of happy about that.
So
out of those notes grew the book that you just so kindly bought a few minutes ago, and so I've got an 80-page history, illustrated history of the chapel, and that's proven popular, and all the money goes to the perpetual care fund as well.
So I'm glad you mentioned the book, Barry. Tell our listeners where they could pick this book up, please.
Right now, we've had it out a year, and we've been selling it at the chapel and at the tourism department at Six Nations. I'm looking into a couple of distributors to see whether we can have a little wider distribution of it now. But up to now, it's been just word of mouth, or call me. I can mail one to you, that type of thing. We have a website.
That's next thing.
Mohawkchapel.ca.
Okay, and that's...
yeah.
We'll probably have a link to the book, too, but...
Yeah.
You're ahead of me already. I'm perfect. I'm glad you brought it up. Tell us about the website and what people will see there.
Okay. Mohawkchapel.ca has historical outtakes from the book, and... description and pictures of some of the events we've had there, tours. We do weddings, of course. Always looking to do weddings. It's beautiful grounds. We've had people come and take all their pictures right on our grounds in the summer. And we've got a lower level with a kitchen, which we've even had wedding receptions down there. But it's not very big. It only holds 50 people. But we've had you can do meetings and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Even had scrapbooking clubs come and spend the day there.
Yeah.
So mohawkchapel.ca. It's actually got some really sharp drone shots now. We can see the chapel. It's fantastic.
Okay.
It's good to see that. So, once you're into that site, you can link to the other items on the Six Nations tour map that are available. So it's just recently redone, and it's got some really nice artwork in it, nice graphics and pictures.
I don't think people realize what a great asset and jewel that is down there. It's a wonderful. Yeah.
The thing that's remarkable about it is not only is it a nice looking building, it was built in 1785.
Mm-hmm.
It's the oldest church in Ontario, right? Standing.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You
mentioned the stained glass windows. My goodness, you know who created those? Like that in 1785? Were they 1785?
Well, no, the windows were 59 to 62. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm thinking another church right now. Sorry, no, they were done in the late 50s, early 60s. It would have been probably some sort of milk glass or plain, you know, those kind of green and smoky glass things that you see in old churches.
I know what you're talking about. They weren't clear.
There was a committee put together back in the late 50s, and they developed this narrative. Of the historical narrative that starts 600 years ago, and then it's focused primarily on Six Nations, and then the Mohawks support, or the Six Nations, what became Six Nations support of the British, which led us to come to Brantford. And then the history carries on from there. So it makes a nice introduction to people visiting the area to see, why we're there, where this 6 miles wide on either side of the Grand River came from, you know. So.
Well, it's a fascinating story. Yeah. I know my farm is just...
inch out, right?
Yeah, I'm just on Trussell Road on the west side. And the Trussell Road, it goes all the way down. It's Put Town Road, and I'm not too sure where it goes after. Like, Put Town is But Town Road is probably the boundary yet, too, I would think, isn't it?
Pretty well, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's cool. We have a small group in our community, North Dumfries, called the Community Club, and we were just delighted to have a speaker up from Six Nations talking about the Six Nations and where it fits in the scheme of things. When initially, I'm going to say, I would say 5 or 6 years ago, mm-hmm. it was time that, and when did reconciliation, when do you remind did that start, that whole, that from a, you know, official government?
Well, the Truth and Reconciliation Committee is, commission has been, I think, almost 5 years in the
okay.
making now.
So
right?
we must have been made to start there. That's
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And did you ever think in your life you were going to wear the hat of being historian and speaker about culture? Did you
not,
ever think?
Not really. Well, they're actually, this is almost a full circle. Because when I was, this interesting story, and it's on the back of the book there about a little bit of the bio. There was a lady by the name of Emily General, who had been a school teacher on Six Nations, and she stopped being a school teacher because she wouldn't take the oath of allegiance to the federal government. But what she did instead, she found other things to support herself, but what she did was spend her extra time doing research on the history of many of our famous leaders from the 1600s and 1700s, both pre and post American Revolution, because our original territory was between Buffalo and Vermont,
right,
in that upstate New York area,
yep.
right, so she started these historical plays on her farm back in the bush. It was a beautiful setting of the natural stage, amphitheater, you know, the bank and the water and the
very nice.
Little island for a stage. So at 8 years old, my mother said, we should get involved. So here I am out looking for firewood in the middle of the night, and I think because we had these, it ran like 2 weekends. And so I started then, and prior to that I'd gone to Longhouse because my mother was a teacher, and at certain times of the year there'd be no kids in school. So we'd go to the Longhouse, and I'd learn to dance and everything, and end up, the very first speech I made was on the back of a flatbed trailer.
My goodness.
As part of this dance troupe, because they invited me to come dance at the, I think it was the Brantford Labor Day event. And there was a round-the-city race, and there was a trophy to be presented. And they turned to me and said, well, your mother's the teacher. You make the speech. 10 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got involved with this pageant, and over the years worked my way up in the cast. And by the time by 1966, when I graduated McMaster, I was the stage director. And it's fallen on hard times now, unfortunately. It hasn't been sustained. I moved away. Other kids, my generation, went on to do other things in other mm-hmm. places. And it carried on in spits and starts for a while, but now it's history. I hope it comes back. Mm-hmm. They still have a site. But it's... So I got immersed in a lot of history in that era, right? Then you go off and you do your, you know, the rest of your life and
right.
have a career. And
so you had that kind of that first little exposure experience and,
yeah.
and 8 years old making speeches.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. So here I am back.
So it's really, well, that's a nice way to put it. I like the way you said that, Barry. You know, things have changed, but it's sort of coming back to something, a skill set you had mm-hmm. been experienced to earlier on.
Hopefully I'm a little better at it, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
not the judge.
Well, I can. It's too bad. You know, who knows? Maybe somebody's got a picture of a young Barry Hill standing up, proud in his in his dance outfit and making a speech.
Well, there are pictures, but not of that event.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is good stuff. You know what? I hope you're keeping in mind anything else you want to talk about, because we got another segment that we can do that. But I think it's time to play another song here, because you brought on some really cool songs. This is the double thing going on here, and it is, let's see, you can probably tell me, number 16.
Floyd Kramer?
Floyd Kramer, Everything is Beautiful. What about this song? How'd you like it? Oh, that's a, yeah, who doesn't like the title off of that?
You can't go wrong there, right?
Yeah. That song is one of many on there. Usual question, have you seen Mr. Kramer, or is it just one that you've...
Oh, I've got these records. I haven't seen him. But
Yeah. So, okay.
I bought a new turntable so I could listen to the records.
Isn't it funny how that's come back? Did you pitch out all your old LPs, or you still got...
Oh, I've got the stack of LPs.
Do you?
I never gave up, and... I found a machine, one of these.
Yeah, it converts it. To
it'll actually, I have to teach myself how to make LPs or transfer LPs onto CDs, because it's a TIAC, but it's in one box.
Yep.
Got it in Toronto, and it'll play CDs, vinyl, and tape.
Oh, my goodness.
And it has a USB connection.
Mm-hmm. So right into your computer.
Yeah. So I've got something to do when I stop farming, I guess.
Well, if I know, farmers never stop doing it. We'll talk about that a bit in the next section here. So let's play Flight Kramer. And folks, just stand up, take a little stretch, freshen up that coffee, right back. Here's an agriculture show here on CKMS Radio 102.7. Guest today is Barry Hill. See you in a short bit.
Hi, this is Jason Atwater from the North Dumfries Fire Department. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi everyone, this is Willie A., and I'm the host of a blues radio program at a sister community radio station here in Waterloo. You are listening to Community Radio CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. Thank you for listening to Community Radio on 102.7 CKMS.
And we're back, and thanks for listening in today, folks. It's the Agriculture Show. Our guest today is Barry Hill. And we've been moving along quite well. There's no way we're going to do justice to everything, but my goodness, we talked about Barry a little bit, about his family, how many people get together at the holiday table, and then we talked a little bit about all the things he does, and we have not covered all that stuff, but basically Hall of Fame, how he got there, and also as historian of the Anglican Chapel at Six Nations. And so websites, of course, websites, Barry, what if they want to go to check out the chapel?
Yeah, it's www.mohawkchapel.ca.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And soil and crop improvement. Right now, if you type in Ontario Hall of Fame, Agriculture Hall of Fame, Barry's name amongst five other guys.
Four others will pop up there,
and you can probably learn a lot more about what he does than
the little bio there. Actually, the Brantford Expositor did a front page thing on me the other day.
Yeah, I saw that. Posted the link.
Very nice. You can just Google Expositor and probably find it. Yeah.
Yep. And so with that, now we're into our third section here, and I'm going to ask Barry, so you know what agriculture, Barry, so of course, I'm pretty darn sure you know that brown milk doesn't come from brown cows. But what would you tell our typical urban listener? Suppose someone walked in the door and said, hey, Barry, what do you know about agriculture? What would you tell them? That we do a great job, it's wonderful, it's good.
Well, that's all true. But one of the things that I've begun to say, depending on the audience, but it fits a lot, is that everything you ate today was produced or grown by someone or raised by someone who got up in the morning and took a chance that he could make a buck by producing something that he could sell.
Right.
Okay. There's no guarantees in this business. We're not. This isn't communism where we, you know, get told what to grow and paid to grow it. Everybody has to get up and take a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
And when can I say this on the air? The biddies and Birkenstocks start telling me what I have to do. I have to respond and say, well, you know, it's fine to think of these other options. Yeah. But how do you recover your livelihood from the marketplace, right? I mean, sure, there's other ways of growing. Always other ways of growing things. There's people now who are making a transition to organic and doing it successfully. There's other names for other methodologies. Some of it gets kind of confusing.
Sure.
But nevertheless, the mainstream agriculture, which I'm part of, and I've always been, because of my training and upbringing, I guess, I've always tried to make wise use of the technology that's available, that we've developed and put our hard-earned university investments into. You know, the fact that you got a 74-year-old guy that can feed, I don't know, a few hundred people working alone. It's got to be worth something, right? So, I think that's definitely a message.
Yeah, I find I don't know about you, but I would say like 95% of the people I talk to, you know what, they're well aware of the headlines, but you know they just really like to know what we do,
right.
And they really are comforted by talking to guys who are actually in the field doing stuff.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. Like we you know, nobody sets out in the morning to do harm to anything.
Precisely.
People who have animals care for them quite a bit, you know. Same really with crops. You have to monitor them and watch for diseases and pests and make sure that one of the things that can happen is if you, for example, in a corn crop, you can get infestations of these worms that will open up the cob to disease, and then that disease can then affect the livestock that eat it, and then and on it goes, right? So you have to manage these things with the tools that are available. And I think when you explain to people what's involved and what has to be done to manage whatever it is you're involved with, and protect it and have it available for people to eat, ultimately, as people start to understand, right?
And we're pretty lucky in this country because, oh my goodness, if you want price and convenience, you got the grocery store, commercial agriculture. If you want a brand, we can do that too. You can find out your local CSA or organic thing.
Right.
And if you want to talk to a farmer, there certainly is avenues through the usual commodity groups, but for most of us, for most people, you can just go to the farmer's market, and there'll be some guy there selling chickens or some darn thing, and you can talk to them and find out about it. So, we're lucky, I think.
We certainly are, and the supply is virtually unlimited. The only thing that's thing that upset me recently is I've got a whole bunch of wheat in the ground. I'm hoping it doesn't get destroyed by the freezing and thawing over the next month, because we get this thing called winter kill where the roots get heaved out of the ground and then die.
Plants you guys die. Down on that clay down there, that happens. That can happen
we get that in spades. But, here you are trying to break even or make a buck on growing a crop, and then they find out that somebody's been fudging the price of bread all these years.
Oh yeah, that is something to start.
I've got a chart that I use from depending on the audience of the farmer share.
I remember that. Remember that came out about 20 years ago.
Yeah,
Ralph Ferguson. Why am I thinking that?
He might have started. There was one that was produced. I think the OFA had one.
Yeah.
It's getting dated now. I think it's 2003.
But
you got a $4 box of Cheerios and there's like 10 cents worth of oats in it, right?
I remember the 25 cents worth of corn in a box of cornflakes.
Same idea.
Right.
And that doesn't do, it reflects on everybody, unfortunately.
Right.
The farmers aren't the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I guess we'll keep doing what we're doing for a few more years. I'm at the point now where I kind of have a little system. You kind of hit a sweet spot where you figure, I can manage this by myself, and equipment's paid for. So
that's always a nice thing.
That's a nice thing. So I can just kind of start to enjoy it a bit.
Yeah.
Land availability, land use, that's always a challenge. Of course, where I farm, we don't have any zoning.
Right.
I go to Federation meetings and everyone is griping about zoning, and now we got the green belt and all these things. Sometimes you say, you guys don't know how lucky you are, because at least you have a designation you can count on, right?
Yeah, that's the flip side. People say, I don't like the regulation of a definition, but boy, I sure like the protection of it.
Right, where
it's true.
Yeah, and most land I have, it's just up the individual land. We don't have a zoning issue, zoning legislation. So somebody decides they're going to do something with the land next year, then that's it, right?
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the larger risks in addition to weather and price.
I just thought of now, the co-op, you have a co-op that you were organized or got started? You can tell our listeners about co-ops in general? Like, why do farmers create co-ops? Why did you start your co-op?
Well, I started the First Nations Agri Group, it's called. It's a co-op. But John Deere came all the way from the States to interview me. It was the first native farm cooperative in North America, apparently.
Yeah.
And they did that. And it started out with basic issues like we're dealing with the little council on drainage and culverts and the nitty gritty stuff. And once we got a group together, then I looked into we managed to make some deals with some of the larger seed companies for volume discounts, and then start tendering for once you get organized and people want to be part of it.
Yeah.
It was preposterous. A few companies thought that it'd be, you know, pretty cheeky, you know, asking for tenders on so many tons of fertilizer. Funny thing is, they're not in business anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and we did that for fertilizer and chemical, and so that's been good. It's trying to find extra value. Now, when I was involved, I was one of the earlier. Actually, I was the engineering committee at one point when we started the integrated grain processors cooperative.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm a member of that. Yet
you were
a member?
Yeah. I was.
You were the founder members of it.
Yeah.
Tell us about that story. That's a great story.
Well, it is a great story, and it started with a bunch of guys at a meeting in the Onondaga Town Hall. Actually, there were three of us met in the guy's kitchen one snowy day. Then we graduated to the Onondaga Town Hall, and we had, you know, a great idea. And there was a lot of interest. Brant County Soil and Crop, Brant County Federation, the same guys, you know, were really keen looking for value added. Opportunities. So we even looked at the soy flour and stuff at one point. But ethanol was emerging in the States primarily as an additive to fuel. And there's what people forget is that, or maybe didn't know, is that ethanol is called an oxygenate, and it's also an octane enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, lead was no longer the thing to be used in gasoline.
I remember
right?
that, yeah. There was,
and then they switched to something called MTBF, metrotetrabutyl ether.
Oh, you're my hero already.
and that had some carcinogenic properties. But ethanol solves the issue, right? It actually has a lower heating value than gasoline.
Yes.
So some people say, well, it doesn't need to give you much power. But it's only a small percentage, 5%. Now they're talking maybe going to
10%.
10%, right?
Yeah.
And so it allows the gasoline, not only does it replace the additive, but it allows more cleaner combustion. And being this, with the molecules working, it's called an oxygenate, allows more complete combustion of the gasoline. So that's why it's a clean fuel.
Mm.
And so we started this from scratch. I remember going to some of these little old community halls that are frozen, you know, in the wintertime. My wife would make coffee, and we'd make speeches, and everybody would look at you and say, yeah, right, you know.
How big of a group of people were you at the beginning, yourself and how many others?
The core group, it was 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were 10 of us, and
yep.
Maybe 12 at one point. And then we got a good support in Brant County, farmers. They were the largest individual group of subscribers. Plus, we had some industry people, like one of our great allies in this effort was the late Roger Davis of Davis Fields. He had quite.
Oh, I remember that name. Yeah,
he's got quite a. He's passed away just recently, but mm-hmm. he had quite a string of stations and Flying J's and things like that. Right. So he was a strong supporter of it, and it took us a long time. I got to go down into the States and look at other ethanol plants, and I ended up doing the spec and the evaluation for the supplier of the process. Some godforsaken places in the middle of Wisconsin and and downstate Illinois, and in the middle of winter. But nevertheless, it was interesting. And so we got the plant going. In the end, it was a $150 million effort. We raised about 40 million of it, and then we got financing for the rest,
yep.
and that's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not on the board anymore, but they're
doubling this.
They've taken the decision to double it.
Yeah. I saw that in the prospectus or the notice of annual meeting came out.
Right. Oh, yeah. So maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah. You know, okay, that'd be good fun.
And
like that's soon. That's like in 2 weeks or something.
March. 26 or 28.
Yeah, okay, that rings a bell. Yep.
Anyway.
Good.
Yeah. So yeah, so, and just to finish that, they've expanded they've got carbon dioxide is a byproduct of the process. They're capturing that now and selling it. There's an oil that they're able to separate out as well from the corn, and there's always process improvements. You know, it's getting a lot more efficient. The efficiency is improving. So it's really been an exciting thing to be part of. This was just an empty field to begin with, right?
Yeah. Eventually, they couldn't get the plant built in Brant County. There was a water supply issue, but Aylmer thought, okay, we'd love to have that, and it's been there ever since.
Yeah, it was in the off-tobacco era.
Mm-hmm.
It's debatable. But we're right across from the old Imperial tobacco plant. Right?
I know. I never seen such buildings. You drive down the road into Aylmer, and to the left, and see the smokestacks of the vapor coming out of the.
Yeah, it's just vapor. It's vapor, not smoke.
That's why I rephrase that. But on the right hand side, there's this monstrous big old square buildings. It used to be Imperial Tobacco.
Yeah.
Were those storage facilities, or what the heck? Why did they have such big buildings like that?
I really don't know. There's storage out the back. There's some big buildings out the back. I think maybe they just had that many machines, but rolling. Of course, they could have been more cumbersome. I don't know. Mm. I remember a guy I worked with in engineering. He had come from a tobacco plant, Rothmans, I think, or whatever, or one of their subsidiaries. And his job was to try to figure out how to put more stems in the tobacco. They're trying to make the stuff they're going by go farther, right? Can you imagine?
It's just like making summer sausage or something.
Yeah.
How much stuff can we stick in?
Yeah, right.
That's quite a task. You know what? It wouldn't be unreasonable for them to try it anyways, see how far they could go.
I know.
Yeah, which is fine. It is what it is.
I'm not smoking them, so there you go.
Yeah, that's probably the best advice of all, even though in agriculture we do have tobacco farmers, and they're all trying to, we love all farmers. If you're making a living and put your kids through university and go on vacation once a year, call yourself a farmer, then we're trying to represent your interests as the Federation of Agriculture. So good stuff. So Barry, let's play another tune here. Now this is kind of a fun one here. I'm really kind of different on the scheme thing. Well, I'll let you explain it. It's classical music. What have we got here with two horns and whatever?
Oh, wow. This is one of my, what have we got here? Oh, this is the St. Paul's Cathedral. Right.
You want to have a look at that there?
Ian Sadler. Yeah, he's quite famous.
Ian Sadler?
This is pipe organ at St. James Cathedral in Toronto. Now, I try to do, when we have a wedding that wants this kind of music, I live for this stuff. So this is very classical stuff here, and classical pipe organ, which I don't mind being a person that loves classical pipe organ music, because it's fascinating. I took pipe organ lessons when I was a teenager, and it's like the best way I can describe it is it's like driving a combine.
Okay. Holy smokes, I can get it.
You can get it, right? You sit down in this pit, and you got five keyboards around you, and all these knobs and things, you know, and you can't see out. And man, is it a power trip? You know?
There's so much stimulus going on, all kinds of audio and stuff like that.
So let's try one of these.
Let's play that, and folks, we'll be right back. It's Agriculture Show, and our guest today is Barry Hill. This episode number 212. See you in a short bit.
Hi, this is David Banbury from Banbury Grasslands in St. Agatha. We are streaming live on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo on the Rogers Digital Network at 946 and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promote local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the Waterloo region. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
I'm Owen Roberts from the GMOs. You are listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
Hi there, this is Barry Hill from the Six Nations of the Grand River. Just downriver from where we are today. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Thanks for doing that, Barry. And with guests like yourself in, it makes our task so much easier. Just delighted to have you come in and talk about all the skills and things you've done. And so what we're going to do in this section is, it's kind of like a review. So, you know, we'll just mention a few things about what happened in our previous three segments, and this is the time. There's no shortage of things you might want to add in or other anecdotes and so on. But, you know, in our first section, we talked about your family and your grandkids and some of the things you do. Right. Anything else come to mind? Are you decided to wear another hat and do some other fine task? Maybe you got a bucket list you want to do? What does Barry Hill like to do if he had to look forward to something coming up?
Well, I guess I've got outstanding tasks. I mentioned earlier I got to transfer all these LPs to CDs.
Oh, yeah.
And then, although I was last vehicle I bought, the salesman said, well, no one puts a CD player in a truck anymore. So I don't know what that means, but I've still got one anyway.
Yeah.
A long passion I've had over the years, and with limited success in a sense. But anyway, I've always been interested in vehicles and cars, and of course the machinery has been the passion lately in the last 20 years. But I've got a couple of vehicles that are kind of unique that I take to car shows or plan to do more of that.
Oh, very nice.
So,
yeah.
I guess, as my wife says, if you'd stop farming, you'd have more time to do that. And what I need to do is stop answering the phone and getting involved with other things. So,
yeah.
That's what I kind of like to do.
Yeah, I do more car show stuff.
A little more car show stuff. Right. I've got this really oddball idea, And it was a spur of the moment thing one day, and I don't know. It's silly, but it's a good silly.
I like that silly.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a dog team?
Yeah.
I've been watching that commercial on TV. Yeah. You know, there's for some vehicle, and the guy has all these dogs. And I actually saw a fellow one day. I was driving. I like to take side roads. And there was a fellow somewhere up this direction, I think, bombing along a side road with a dog team. And the sleigh, you know, the what he's pulling, had little wheels on it.
Right.
It was the middle of the summer, right?
Yeah.
And they were bombing along there. I thought, gee, this is really looks like fun, right? So I don't know. That's
well, the world's a small place. That sounds like my neighbor Ralph. Him and his wife Jen do summer training with a device you just described.
Really?
Yes. And then right now they're doing their traditional but races north of here.
Maybe it was him then I saw.
It's just down there, just by the 401 on West Fressler Road.
Okay.
Yeah, across the road from your Farmers Mutual headquarters there.
What the heck?
Yeah. So him and they've got 3 or 4 years. They just love doing it. They're still going.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to seeing you out in the mucking about. So... Then we talked a little bit about what the things you do, Barry, and we sort of got into that indirectly here with there's maybe a dog muster in the background, but in no particular order, as I can remember them, you have experience with setting up a co-op, and co-ops are important to all groups. You want to say a few words there about why?
Co-ops, one of the people are looking for more value, right?
Right.
In what they for their efforts, right? So I mean, you can if you the dream always is that if we own our own elevator, if we own our own processor, or so on, we can not only sell into that, but we'll get dividends from the operation,
mm-hmm.
and the profitability of the operation. Now at the ethanol plant, we are doing that quite well, but the one thing we did at the ethanol plant with the is it has a second layer of management, as you know. A lot of and you've all been involved with community operations, and everything is great as long as everyone's agreeing, right? But when you have people with and this gets into the share structure and who has a vote and all this stuff, right?
Yes.
And so a lot of times, you can look back and say, oh, geez, all these co-ops, they were doing great, then they failed for whatever reason, right? A lot of times it's because of the management process.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the best way to put it. And so what we've done at the IGPC is set up a separate company that it manages the operation of the business.
Well, you know, I wonder why that happened. Thanks for the explanation. Yeah.
And that company is in turn owned by the cooperative.
Okay.
So the members aren't standing up and yelling at the meeting saying, I don't like the color of the truck, right?
They wouldn't do that.
No. Yeah. But you're running the kernel of the operation is a professionally managed business, right? And it in turn is responsible for the main board. And that, knock on wood, that's been working well. Other places haven't been that successful. And then it's not only the management side, but it's the marketing side, right? You get into producing your own flour or whatever it's going to be, right? And I've looked at this myself in terms of the interesting thing. Like we grow a lot of soybeans in our area. They grow well on the clay, but it's better than corn.
Right.
I shouldn't say this maybe on the Waterloo radio, but I drink soy milk or soy drink. You can't call it milk.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was a thing about one of the things I read about you. That's really a good story if I think you know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Anyways, processing soy, into flour and into the drink, and you can other foodstuffs and so on that you can replicate. Reason for that is the reason for getting interested in that is that over 50% of First Nations population is lactose intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
You can speculate on why, you know, and historically over time why that would be. Nevertheless, that's the truth. And that and diabetes is an issue, of course. And it's all related to diet, I think. And so I thought, here's an opportunity, right? And my daughter and I were selling or handing out soy burgers and so on. Interesting perceptions there. If you hand someone this burger and say, "Try my new burger here," you know, they go, "This is great!"
Right?
You know, then you say,
"But if
you hand them and say, I've got this great new soy burger," they go, "Yeah." Right, so there you go. So there's a bridge there.
Yeah.
But if every loaf of white bread had 5% soy flour in it, you'd have better bread, more nutritious, and we'd have a tremendous market for soy flour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got a market for the oil, of course, in various foodstuffs as additives or margarine or so on. But the meal, which is primarily used for animal feed, we could be making soy flour.
Mm-hmm.
And putting in that inflated bread.
You should be a host. You're connecting the dots just perfect there. I like it, like your opening comment. Yeah.
Anyway, so I haven't given up on that idea yet. Maybe we'll get there someday.
Yeah, sounds good. We also we spent a little bit of time talking about we did talk about the Hall of Fame. You're one of five people being nominated, and the ceremony is June the 10th,
yeah,
right
in the afternoon. Yeah,
and so you're going through an esteemed peer group, and holy smokes, of the five people, two are living, and that'd be one of them. Be you.
There won't be too many speeches. I imagine the families of the,
sure,
of
they'll
the
have
nominees will see them.
Yeah.
So it's one of those afternoon things where you'll. A nice gathering. I know some people have messaged me and say they're coming. I'm really excited and flattered about that.
Mm-hmm.
You get to have little round sandwiches, you know.
Well, life is full of all kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's June 10th at the Heritage Park in Milton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the a ceremony to honor nominees. And then the pictures and descriptions are then put at One Stone Road in the Agricultural Hall of Fame.
It's 100 stone.
100 stone.
It's across from the big old Mafra building.
Yes.
Okay. There's a red brick building there that has OFA and different people in there.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Next to the health club.
Yeah. So you got that on the go. And you're also busy as historian of the Anglican Church, Her Majesty's Anglican Church of the Six Nations. I'll get it right. Go ahead, please.
That's okay. Mohawk. The short term is Mohawk Chapel.
Right, okay.
There's another exciting thing that's happening in May. It's going to be a busy month, a busy spring. I hope I have time to plant. That's June 10th. May 3rd, I think it is. It's a Thursday night. Anyway, I graduated from McMaster and a long time ago, I guess over 50 years ago. Anyway, last year, being Canada's 150, they came up with this idea that they wanted to select and honor their top 150 engineering graduates since the school started. And so I made that list. And so I've been down for an interview, and they had me walk around campus pointing out the things that I remember. mostly they're gone.
Did they have the nuclear facility there then?
Oh, that's one of the reasons I went there.
Actually,
there's a little reactor there.
Yeah.
And what's important to us old guys is that they make the isotope that's used for prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a very useful thing to
know.
Another
Chalk River used to do isotopes as well, right?
Yes, that's
medical
correct.
Isotopes.
That's correct.
So did Hamilton pick up all that work?
Not all of it. I believe I'm not sure if Chalk River's been decommissioned now. Jeez, I'm on a date.
Yeah. I don't either, but it was on the news not too long ago. They had equipment failure, and they tried to decide where they're going to bother or not.
Yeah, that's correct. It was the earliest one. Mac, actually, is still is undergoing expansion. One of the things they showed me on the ground there were little stakes. Oak Ridge National Labs from the United States, Tennessee Valley, is actually partnering with McMaster, and they're having expanded research facilities in nuclear engineering.
Right.
So that's exciting. So they wandered around, had me talking, and did a video. So that's a dinner coming up in May. So that's pretty exciting, too.
We also talked about, there's so many things, Barry. The Hall of Fame. Well, your farming career. How many acres of crop are you putting in this spring? Are you going to be, like, you were involved with the first environmental farm plans, which is a great initiative, folks. I encourage you to go online and check that out. That's how the Ontario producer is respecting and making our environment better.
Uh-huh.
So Barry, yourself, you're farming away there. You got the corn and beans. You got some corn you put in too once in a while?
Yeah, I do corn.
What are you growing this year? What do you got?
I do corn on the river flats. It doesn't really like clay, of course, but corn and soybeans. I've got wheat in the ground. Been putting more in again this year, I guess. I have clover in rotation, of course, to before the corn, after the wheat. And I used to do this a few years ago, and that is IP bean, identity preserved beans. Like these are the right. Food grade type beans.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are non-GMO, and so we have a new elevator in the area, or the new ownership of the elevator I deal with, and they're opening up the market because they already have export business.
Oh, cool! Very nice. Yeah.
In the food grade beans. So mm-hmm. I'm putting another 100 acres into that and get back into it. The challenge with that is, these are just beans, of course, but they have to be kept separate from any other bean, right?
Right. There's so pretty strict contamination rules.
Yeah, so you have to vacuum out your combine and do all this kind of stuff, right? So.
And these go for specialty beans, all the way from a special color of natto, soy product, or just whatever.
Yeah, nattos are a different bean. I grew nattos for a while. They're tiny. They're like BBs, and actually like clay, very to grow on clay, but the place I was delivering them stopped dealing with it.
Right. I think the word I was looking for was tofu. That's
tofu.
That's the mostly the use of IP beans, I think.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Okay. Tofu, and I love, like, we have a Chinese restaurant not far from in Canesville, not far, just on the edge of Brantford, and they prepare the hot, spicy type dishes, and they have a nice spicy tofu dish, which we always order there.
Sounds like it's one of your favorites.
It is, yeah. Anyway, in the past I've experimented with different crops, and that's been part of maybe why I was recognized. I was on the biomass committee recently when the province and OPG were interested in using biomass as a additive or co-mix with coal to reduce emissions, and that would have worked, but other politics got in the way, I guess. So I was on the biomass committee and planted some for myself, and there is a biomass cooperative that was formed result of that effort, and they're looking at bedding markets. Can be used as a fuel, but they're mostly right now it's more of a bedding market, and maybe there was a thought at one time that you can make dashboards and things out of them. And
then you can add straw to it as a binder or something.
Yeah. Actually, what's interesting about this is, for all the chicken farmers out there, I learned this going to a seminar, is that the switchgrass as a bedding material, dried switchgrass as a bedding material, is very absorbent. And it doesn't act like straw. Like straw, when it gets wet as a bedding material, it gets slippery, and you know that. And these little chickens can twist their ankle.
Oh yeah, right on.
All right, and got then once that happens, yeah, and then they
no end of trouble. They're pretty well.
Yeah. And so by using the switchgrass, you cut back on that issue. Right? So that's just one of those little things you learn. Mm. Whatever. One thing I've heard about, I'm encouraging a young fellow that's taking on some of the land. I was up at 2,500 acres. Now I'm back down to 1,500 because I can handle that by myself.
Yeah.
2,500 is a lot of land when they're only 40 and 25 acre plots.
That's a lot of running around.
Running around.
Off and on with heads and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there's not too far from us is the president of this new hay producers co-op they're trying to start, and the object of that is to export hay. And they're looking at like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
it's a huge market apparently for hay, and they're actually, I don't know what they do with the milk. I haven't figured that out.
They're horse racers.
Well, they have horses and
cattle. I guess they have cattle too. They want like the world's biggest dairy farm or something.
There's apparently a farm in Saudi Arabia that has more cows than all the cows in Ontario.
I think I read something about that.
Yeah, and of course they can't grow hay on the sand, right? So there's a huge market there.
Yeah,
and they have camel races, right?
Yes. Yep. I've seen that pictures of that.
And they control them by they have a remote jockey. So the camels are racing on the track, and then these SUVs are racing on the outside of the track, and the sheik or whoever is controlling the remote to drive his camel.
You got to be kidding! Really?
No, my friend of mine was there.
Crazy.
Yeah, I saw it live.
Of course, I suppose he looked at some of the things we do for entertainment. Who's calling who? What here? That's bizarre. Oh, they do some interesting things over there. You got the falconing is a big deal.
That's a big deal. Yeah, one of those cultural things that they take pride in. Yeah.
So this is good, and I'm just trying to scratch my head. What else we want to talk about? We just heard like a review, and I'm glad you had some the thoughts came up in this little segment of our show talking about it. Stuff we covered in the show already. We talked about co-op, the Mohawk Chapel. Your farming, and a little bit more about, we talked about the distillery. Ethanolery.
Yeah, that's an important distinction because if you produce potable alcohol, if the alcohol you're producing is intended to be consumed, you get a whole bunch of different licenses involved, right?
Right.
Because the stuff we produce at Aylmer is denatured. In other words, we have to put gasoline into it to poison it. So you can't run in there and tap the tank and then take it home. No, it's been poisoned. Yeah. Right? So
but it's not even the same. There's ethanol and methanol. Like the one will kill you anyway, right?
Methanol is made as a wood alcohol. It's not a grain alcohol, and it'll kill you.
Yeah, it'll kill you. That shit'll kill you. All right, so Barry, let's play another song here. This is pretty intriguing. This is titled let me reach over here. The No Frills, Mark's No Frills album. It's got blue and No Frills. And track number 9 is Cindy Lou.
Mark is actually a local guy. Mother's from Six Nations, but he's based in the New Credit Reserve, which adjoins Six Nations.
Yes.
He's a bit of a local legend. He's getting up to your age. But I was at a birthday party where he was playing for all the dancing. He does a nice job of cover songs, but this is one he actually wrote. And what this is starting to show our age here, because the song is about the old days of when Delhi was a hopping spot.
It was the center
the center of the world, right?
It was.
You couldn't walk down the street. They're so crowded. It's like one of those gold rush towns, yeah. Right?
And they, all the way that big band show up there and everything. Yeah, like, yeah. It's just
big band show. Yeah. The Belgian Hall, I just mentioned.
I know what it is. Yep.
You know, it's closed now.
Yep.
The German club still goes. I used to really look forward, when I was in Soil and Crop as president or director, I had to cover Norfolk, and their annual general meeting was at the German club. And so you sit at the head table, and you get unlimited chicken and cabbage roll. So this song here is about, I guess, an old girlfriend of his or something, but it mentions the Belgian Hall and the dancing and the music. So here you go.
Here we go. We'll play it. We'll be back, folks. Just stay locked in.
Hi, this is Bruce Muirhead from the University of Waterloo and agricultural historian. We're live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You're listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, you're listening to The Agricultural Show on Sound FM. 102.7. CKMS.
Third floor and bring them down the elevator.
I remember that. Yeah, that's at Massey and Harbister and
Harbister's Hamilton.
Hamilton, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, quite an experience. There's, all those factories are gone.
They're all gone. I drove my wife in there one day. I actually gave a paper on cast iron foundries once. Long way from computers.
Oh, my. So, we're just reminiscing very nice. There's so many things to talk about. It's episode number 212, and thanks for listening in today. Barry Hill's our guest. We've covered all of our touchstone topics that we do for our show. We got some great music. We've had some great touch discussions, and we're going to end off the show pretty soon. But my favorite part, one of my favorite parts, that I love every show, is this last part where I ask my guest a question. And for you, Barry, I have this question. What are you doing in the next 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, if you want to go that far? What are you doing in the next 2 hours?
20 years, oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Well, it's later today. I've got to check in with probably tomorrow. Mostly is we have records on in storage at the archives of the Diocese of Huron, which yep. is part of where the chapel is located within the Anglican Diocese. And Mohawk Chapel was, as you know, almost 230-some years old. A lot of our record books, we had some go missing, and it turns out that they are, in fact, in these archives underneath the chapel at the at Huron College. And so I want to investigate that and see how condition they're in. And we do get people coming in from time to time that want to see where their mother or grandmother was baptized or whatever, you know. And so nice to have the records available.
Yeah.
So I don't know. These are in a condition that could be copied. I don't really want to. Right now, the diocese archives are a safe place, right? And we actually have there's a book there that's. A Gospel of John written in the Mohawk, translated into Mohawk by a person named John Norton in 1807. So that's stored there. It's on display, and you can pick it up and look at it. So anyway, that's the next few hours, or for a few days. Hope to catch up with the farm show.
that's
on this week.
Actually, I wouldn't mind going on there tomorrow myself. I think
that's on.
Right on.
And
I've got Fairgrounds,
a couple of coupons to pick up a hammer or something. after that, I guess we've got to start worrying about spring.
Yeah, 2 weeks at April, 1st of April, people start thinking, well, can I put that tractor out there? And they decide, no, I can't.
No, you can't. No, I got the tractor out yesterday, pulled the cultivator out and checked the tires and stuff just because I could.
Yes.
It'll be a while yet. And but it feels good to do that. So we get into spring. So planting. Of course, I've got to do all these events, I guess, coming up. And then spring planting. And then, of course, we got the wheat. And so the summer will go by. We're going to try and take a little road trip, I think, this year.
Very nice.
We don't do airplanes much anymore. It's just too hard to get in and out of airports, and then
it's a bother, isn't it?
It's a bother, and if you have any mobility issues, it's really a challenge. And
even a train traveler by a chance from that?
Well, I tell you, I would recommend this. Somebody should ask that.
Yep.
You like trains? A few years ago, we now already took the Rocky Mountaineer.
You did? Oh. I'm envious.
And we did the whole loop. From Calgary to Vancouver, up to Whistler, up to Jasper. And then my brother-in-law and his wife went with us, and it was their wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And then we drove back to Calgary. And I had reserved a little minivan, and so went to pick it up, and they said, well, gee, you know, we've got this... We got this big Jimmy thing that we want to take back to Calgary. Would you mind driving that instead? We'd give it the same price. So this thing about the size of a bus with leather seats and air conditioning. Anyway, it was a good deal. So yeah, that is I'd recommend that trip to anybody. You know, any part of that leg. I mean,
yeah, it sounds pretty wonderful.
What's unique about the Rocky Mountaineer service is that you only travel in daylight.
Yeah, that's critical.
Now, you can take the VIA rail.
Yeah, well, that comes in the middle of the night the way out.
You miss the whole thing.
But on the way in, does it go in the nighttime too?
Well, we were in Jasper.
Like, I've done the way out trip.
Yeah.
From Vancouver across.
I remember.
It was dark.
The night we were in Jasper,
yeah.
We come back from dinner, and the VIA rail was poised to go to head west at like 7 o'clock at night and see the dome car. So you'd be going through everything in the dark. It'd be you'd arrive in the morning.
Yeah. Downtown Vancouver and where you go. Yeah.
But that's exciting. Yeah. That's exciting. I always want to see the Grand Canyon. I don't know with safe to cross the border anymore or not, but
I think a lot of people are wondering if things have somehow changed significantly yet or not.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah,
you know, you got to put it to, you know, the United States is a mature democracy, and boy, they were pushing the limits.
Well said.
So, more power to them. I'm sure it'll work out okay. So that's, we did two months. Of course, I want to point out you're going to be recipient of the Ontario Hall of Fame, your nominee, and get an award for Ontario Hall of Fame. That's on June the 10th.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about maybe in the 2 months you got this other hobbies, maybe some travel, take a car trip somewhere. 2 months, two years? Did we talk 2 years? What are you doing next 2 years?
Yeah, I haven't done 2 years yet. Well, I don't know. Maybe I keep doing what I'm doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if I could. I've got to find a way out of this. I don't know. My uncle was combining. He planted wheat, and he was 85 years old. He had this old little combine, international. He got out there, went one round, and then he called me. Said, "Could you come finish for me?"
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's there's got to be a graceful way to retire. This is my retirement, right? So like I don't know what to do next, right?
Yeah.
Although I got the music and I got the, I'll have the dog team and all the rest of it. So that's after that. I have no idea.
Except for the fact none of us can stop time. You seem to have yours pretty well full, well booked.
Yeah.
A life well lived.
Thank you.
So. But yeah, I haven't figured out how to stop that time zone yet, but I guess that's the creator decided that's how it's going to be, so we'll just let that be.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, we have done pretty good here, Barry. Got the music, we got your story, the agriculture story, some reflections on agriculture, so folks, keep going to the store, food's good, talk to a farmer if you want to know what's really going on, that's the best bet. You got all kinds of plans from here on in, right in 2 hours. We covered the websites, Mohawk Chapel, search that. You can look, if you're interested, look for the ethanol plant in Aylmer, ICGP or something.
They actually do tours. It's interesting to go through. I believe it's still Tuesdays. You can book a tour.
Yep.
And I must say, it's a really well-designed plant. And there's a clean place, you know. It's interesting to see what happens. All the material that's left over after you take out the ethanol. I mean, well, you have to convert it and all that stuff. But the mash, I guess they used to call it when they made moonshine. It's the same stuff. It's used for animal feed. And we have a special dryer there that produces a dried distiller's grain, it's called properly, that's very bright and not burnt in any way, and that's in demand for poultry.
Okay.
So
is that the digestibility of that protein, or what is that about?
It's good for that, and you see, it's palatable. I was on some plants in the States where their dryer was more or less just a cement mixer.
Okay.
And it would you'd get caramelized material, you know, and just burn it, and So.
But they have a belt dryer down there?
It's called a ring dryer. It actually is like It blows it up in the air and circulates it airborne. Yeah.
Good process.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty good. The only last thing I should say before I say get out of here is that Barry White, so this is the agriculture show, and we bring in people to talk about agriculture, and you know, what a treat to have a person like yourself come in who just shows the kind of things that farmers are involved with agriculture, what's going on, where it leads, what's happening, your life experiences are just great. Just,
one of the things I was going to just comment on before it goes, I suddenly recognized where we are. A few years ago, I went with we were supposed to go on this big bus trip with the marketing guy I had, the broker. And it was a really bad year. Everybody canceled except the one guy in this guy's office. He had a new hire. He had an office out of Stratford, so there's a new guy. He just started. He's going to trade commodities, you know. So, what ended up happening was this young fellow Bert, and my wife and I got the Amtrak over here, and we'd drive up in a snowstorm and get an 8 a.m. train to Chicago.
I took that once way back in the day. Yeah, that was a great trip.
So we went to Chicago, and we were supposed to go to the Chicago Board of Trade and then go to a conference on the weekend, right? Well, you get to Chicago, and of course there's two huge, it's like getting to Union Station and finding out you're at the wrong Union Station. You got to go across. So then we go to the other one, and then, again, it's like you get to the station and you say, well, we've got to go to Crystal Lake or whatever it was. And it's like, you know, going to Wingham or something. I mean, it's way out of town, or at least Guelph, you know.
Yeah.
So it was way, isn't this where Buddy Holly crashed? So we went way, way out. And it was 10 o'clock and the town was pretty well closed when we got there. But it was a nice hotel. And it was a community college where the conference was on the Saturday and part of Sunday. But Friday we had a date with F.C. Stone to go down to Chicago Board of Trade. So it's all gone now, I guess, with the computers, eh? But
yeah, there's a trading floor, maybe for tourist attractions.
I can say that I was on the trading floor.
Pretty cool.
And they let you down there. You know, they met us and everything. We had to go through all the security because it was just after 9/11. It was that year. It must have been 2012. What year was that? 01, 02. Yeah. Sorry, I've got the wrong year. But nevertheless, we got down on the floor and they said, okay, you stand over there. Keep your hands in your pockets. And we spent the morning there, and it's really interesting to see that. You know, it looks frantic from up top, with people waving their arms and running around. But you get down there, it's pretty organized. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, it was something to see. And you get now, you know, and you see what happens and how people react and all the information that's flying around the boards. You can kind of anticipate. When you read your little marketing thing on your phone, like, okay, I kind of see where they're going with this, you know. It emotion is a big part of that market.
Yeah, it seems like it, doesn't it? And that's so active and it just jumps around like crazy. So,
right. But anyway.
It's okay.
Anyway.
It's like a non-stop auction. Hey, Barry, we just about got to get out of here. So, I just want to thank you so much for coming up today. What a great time we've had. Didn't do it all justice. Thanks so much for coming up.
Thank you very much. It's been fun.
And with that, folks, we'll see you next week for the Agriculture Show. Thanks for tuning in. Our guest this week is episode 212 with Barry Hill. And lots of websites we've talked about. And we'll see you next week. And if you eat this week, thank a farmer. See you later. Bye for now.